I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, Breaking Glass, with my top 10 plus 5 global television series for 2017 and my top 5 trends within the serial television industry. Taboo. The year's best series created by the actor Tom Hardy and Stephen Knight, who are also behind Peaky Blinders. This is an able follow-up to that series, which goes at one better. The villain in this rephrasing of the Count of Monte Cristo, set in 1830s London, with Hardy as the Dark Prince seeking revenge, is the East India Bay Company. This corporation with tentacles everywhere, which like our own modern corporations such as Amazon, which is now seeking control of an entire city for its new headquarters, rivals or exceeds the British government. The story of the Hardy character's delicious thwarting of the company is only marred by the need to create a second season instead of the lead character's own crimes on board a slave ship condemning him to a Shakespearean death that would have been a logical culmination of the series. Goliath. Who says nothing good comes out of the belly of the beast? This Amazon series, created by the resurrected David E. Kelley, whose follow-up series was Big Little Lies, has Billy Bob Thornton as verdict-style alcoholic lawyer, a la Paul Newman in that film, rallying disparate troops in his quest to best his former corporate law firm in a case involving a defense contractor's negligence or blowback as its weapons are unleashed on the home front. Thornton underplays the role and lets the case take precedence over the character, and in so doing, helps fashion a very strong series. Wormwood. Errol Morris hasn't looked this sharp in years. This true story, shot in half-doc, half-fiction mode, about a scientist who bucked the military establishment in the dark days of the Cold War, relates in the fictional mode his demise and assassination, and in the documentary mode how the long years of the intelligence agency cover-up that followed inflicted further grief on his son and family. Stunning serial series and Morris's best work since his exposure of Texas Justice in The Thin Blue Line. Acquitted, Follow the Money. Two strong examples of the way Scandinavian noir can escape the now tried and true personal crime in a quirky small town cliche and instead tell a larger tale about corporations and corruption in the energy industry. Acquitted involves a wealthy Asian corporate manager who goes back to his hometown in Norway to acquire the town's energy company, but is haunted by a crime he was pursued for 20 years earlier. He has to both clear himself and help thwart the takeover. Follow the Money features a straightforward emphasis on a Danish energy company a la Enron, speculating in resources it does not possess and playing against the clock to conceal its shell game from investors. A story that did not end with Enron, but is now the mainstream corporate tale with, for example, Amazon embracing debt rather than profit as its future. Wasteland, HBO series from the Czech Republic that details the personal and collective misery of a town living on the Czech-Polish border in the face of a coal mining company that continues to spew devastation across the landscape. Its main story of the town's female mayor pursuing a missing child, though engrossing, is also almost a pretext for a tour of a demolished psychic and physical landscape, the result of this industrial waste. Ozark, Netflix series with Jason Bateman that has a New York accountant moving to the backwoods area of the mountain range to flee a drug lord. Well, at first the series seemed to promise a kind of justified treatment of a backwoods region, much like that of Appalachia. The real strength of the series lies in the Bateman characters illustrating the mechanics of money laundering. It's a dramatic series with a darkly comic undercurrent, and the accountant's wife, played by the marvelous Laurel Linney, manages each week to underplay, even more than Bateman, a scene in the way that makes the dark task of the new failing middle class managing its lack of funds through crime and profiteering hilarious, though it would be funnier if it weren't true. Guerrilla, thrilling British miniseries broadcast in the U.S. on Showtime, created by 12 Years a Slave's John Ridley about a 70s black uprising in London, better and clearer than 12 Years a Slave, with no white man a la Brad Pitt riding to the rescue. and with a brutal depiction of the British equivalent of the FBI's COINTELPRO, sabotaging these black radicals in an evil character borrowed from Peaky Blinders' Sam Neill, who, like the Irish Regenerate in that series, entraps the Black Panther-like protesters and directs them towards violence. Episodes. The Showtime series ended this year with Matt LeBlanc playing a heightened version of himself, a slightly savvier Joey from Friends, then returning to the kind of show this series viciously mocked. Not since The Larry Sanders Show has there been a series which so skewered the inhuman culture that surrounds the rampant greed of network television, where money is the only king. Season 5 was a bit of an afterthought, but Season 4 contained a brilliant late flourishing of this stunning satire and earned this show a place on the year's best. You Are Wanted, German series available on Amazon about the supposed paranoia of a real estate executive whose identity is stolen and who discovers that the paranoia is real, as we are all in danger not only of having our identity pilfered, but because of our susceptibility to the symbolic economy, having much less identity to assume in the first place, a point where the cipher, which the cipher-like lead character makes clear. Salam Moscow. Russian series just being released in the West, which details the conflicts, misunderstandings, and prejudices of a polyglot Moscow through the misadventures of its two cop protagonists, a quasi-racist Russian and his Muslim partner. A sometimes comic, sometimes absurd look at the fissures on which tensions in post-Soviet Russia express themselves, and an antidote to the current othering of the country, which shows its tensions very similar to those of the West. And here are five honorable mention series. The Romeo section. Season 2 of the Canadian Broadcasting series got back on track and started looking more like creator Chris Haddock's superb Intelligence, as the agents, run by a university professor, track a terrorist attack possibly engineered by the spy services themselves. The Code. Seasons 1 and 2 of this Australian series both detail in some degree the way the Australian state acts in collusion, first with the defense industry to cover up the murder of an Aborigine, and then with the Indonesian state to repress the Papua New Guinea independence movement in order to maintain its mining of the region. Tends to pull its punches by the end and soften its critique, but its journalist and autistic hacker two-brother team keeps it interesting. Camorra. Like the book and better than the film, the series on the Naples Mafia, The Camorra, also produced by the book's author Roberto Saviano, details each week the personal corruption but also the public economy of the mob. Interesting, fascinating, but extremely bleak. Catastrophe. About midway through season 2, this Amazon series took a turn for the better, embracing in a more truthful fashion the dysfunction of its two older protagonists who start a family more out of lust than love. Season 3 continued that dysfunction and made it the best anti-family family comedy on television. K2. The high-profile Korean series this year was Stranger. But this action series about a mercenary who challenges the corrupt interplay between the largest Korean corporations and the government while falling in love with the Korean president's daughter is more dynamic. Bigger budget, but more direct than the sometimes too obtuse Stranger, involving formidable truth-telling about the country's political elite. And here are the top five trends in serial television. 1. The attack on net neutrality by Trump's FCC, which if it succeeds will likely increase pricing for online streaming and make the streaming services look more and be priced more like cable TV. 2. Netflix expenditure in creating new content. $6 billion this year and already announced $7 billion for next year, which will include 13 global Netflix series. The question, though, is how will this content translate? Will it be exciting, innovative series or just Netflix creating knockoff content that is its own version of popular films or TV series, such as Frontier, Netflix's serial rerunning of The Revenant? The unspectacular Italian series Subaru, which turned a film and a book about corruption into a skewed young dance music celebration of budding masculinity, does not bode well as the service begins to look more and more like a slightly higher-end mainstream network. 3. Continual critical dominance of streaming services over network TV, with Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale winning the Emmy for Best Dramatic Series. 4. Dominant female roles in stories of male dystopia and liberation. Not only The Handmaid's Tale, but the Margaret Atwood follow-up Alias Grace, and even the more mainstream Western Godless, a reworking of The Magnificent Seven, as the tale of an all-woman's town battling male bandits. The series still delivered male gunplay at its ultimate moment, but even the male characters had a softness and vulnerability that was female-inflected. and 5 unsuccessful series returns. The X-Files barely registers as an event once it unrolled, though that will not keep it from being revived again. However, more deeply disconcerting was season 2 of Top of the Lake, which begins promisingly, but dissolves its recounting of female trafficking in an ambiguous haze that proved ultimately disappointing. The most extreme case, though, was the utterly unwatchable Twin Peaks, where a series of disjointed but powerful images could not conceal its lack of an overarching theme, a major strength of the original, which boldly employed network television to expose incest at the heart of the American home. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, signing off for this year, but be sure to catch me next year on Arts Express, but also on my television series, TV on TV.
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute. Mmh.